Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning, good morning. I'm John Ramos. I want to welcome you to VFN Radio. I'll be filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and joining with me today, yes, you've guessed it, the one, the only, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, glad to be here.
Come on, man, you know you got the limo. And also joining with me is extraordinaire himself, Mr. Extraordinaire.
Yes.
Chris Cat.
In the house.
Hello, John. It's good to be here with you today.
Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Dude, it's so awesome. Well, I am so encouraged. I'm so encouraged. I want to give some shout outs today. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Steve, it's like days away. Oh, no. Pittsburgh, here he comes. Yep. I'm so excited about everything that God's doing, man. I'm just so pumped for you. Marjane, I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. You are doing great. And I'm so encouraged by everything that you are sharing. Jekri, it's time to come home, man. Well, he is so faithful, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see him.
Man, come on home from Japan. Eddie, ¿qué pasa? Talk to me, brother. I haven't heard from you, man. How you doing? What's going on? I still have not got a report. You know, I want to share this with Greg, but we haven't heard no report of anything about this insanity.
I know, right?
Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to see this in action.
Yes, we want to see this. We want to see this. Oh, my goodness, we have such an exciting program today and so much to share and so many things to talk about. But I want to encourage you today, my goodness, that if you belong to the Lord, my goodness, if you belong to God and he is your God, let me tell you, he is your rock. Mm. I mean, he is your fortress and your deliverer.
Amen.
I mean, he is a shield and a stronghold, and he is worthy of our praise. Let me tell you something. You don't have any problems today if God is on your side.
That's right.
He's got your back and your front. And all your sides. It says, the word of God says that his favor surrounds you like a shield. Did you see that circle just go right by? That is the that's the favor of God. I want you to move in the fog today in God's favor. I'll tell you, awesome. I'm just so excited. We got so much to share. But I wanted to talk a little bit to, this morning, just jump right into it. I'm on some God's news behind the news. Pat, Chris, I don't know if you guys saw this. But just yesterday, they foiled the plot to there was going to be a bomb.
Yeah.
You know, allegedly a bomb was going to go in Manhattan in the Federal Reserve Building or out trying to blow up the Federal Reserve Building.
Right.
It's reported that this suspected terrorist parked the van, and he thought, listen to this, he thought he had a 1,000-pound bomb. That he was getting ready to blow up next to the Federal Reserve Building, of course, in Lower Manhattan.
Right.
I mean, just that alone.
That's something.
I can't wait for you guys to visit because let me tell you something. This just it's crawling with people. It's the financial district. I mean, it's you know the World Trade Center was down there. Now Freedom Towers is going up, almost completed. You know,
right.
We keep saying that, but it's almost completed. And this was a big deal because it was a sting operation. And apparently, it's this 21-year-old man, Kwasi Mohammed Rizwano Nafis, and he came over on a visa, as a student visa, and with a purpose. They're saying here that, you know, for launching a terror attack, and so you know the Commissioner Ray Kelly here in New York of the police department. He's saying that, you know, it was clear that his intent was to create mayhem. In fact, they got some information from him. Apparently, it was on a USB drive that says that he wanted to destroy America by going after its economy And then in his statement referred to, you know, Osama bin Laden. And so this young man lived in the Queens. So, Jeffrey, we do got to talk about this. He's from the Queens, right? We got to talk about
this.
But, I mean, it just never, you know, we can never sleep. Mm-hmm. We can never sleep knowing that, or basically sleep on the fact that there are people, radical Islam, that want to destroy our country. And they wanted to, it was being reported that he wanted to disrupt it during our presidential election. I mean, this is just not right. I want to encourage you this morning, continue to pray for our nation, continue to pray for the safety of our president, continue to pray that all of these plots will be rooted and they will all be exposed.
Right, uprooted.
You know? Yeah, uprooted and exposed, because this is serious stuff. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, God will protect us, but we need to cry out to him.
That's right.
I mean, we just need to cry out to him. And there's gross darkness that's out there, but let me tell you, God's light shines very bright in darkness. So I wanted to continue to share and talk about, Pat and Chris, I want to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw this, that Detroit.
Yeah.
Motown.
Yeah.
Okay?
Steve's hometown.
Is that Steve's hometown? Yeah, I know that's Steve's hometown. Detroit, the police department, they're actually warning visitors and saying that it is unsafe to enter Detroit now. This is the police department.
Yeah.
Now they have this sign that says, "Attention, enter Detroit at your own risk." Okay, they had this rally not too long ago, and they go into how, you know, Detroit now is very unsafe, and listen to some of the things that they're stating. This is so important because I think you're going to start seeing this all across the country, and Detroit is maybe just even a model to see we can learn some things. Mm-hmm. But basically what's happening is that the officers, they're saying that they can no longer work for 12-hour shifts on the money that they're getting paid. Mm. At the same time, the city's saying, we can't afford to pay you. Now, you can understand that, you know, they're operating now. They used to have a police department of 2,000 police officers. Mm-hmm. And now they're down to about 1,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're greatly reduced staff. But you got to understand that Detroit has been hit hard during these economic times. I mean, not only is it one of the most it's the second most violent city in the United States.
Oh, wow.
21.4 violent crimes per 1,000 people in 2011. And this is serious. Not only that, but its unemployment rate is at 20%. And the poverty rate is about 37%. Now you understand that the national average of unemployment is about 7.8%. So you're looking at almost three times the national average of unemployment.
Right.
You know, so it's let's catch a clue here. There, if people are unemployed and they're not working, these are less revenue and less taxes and less money. I mean, and then you have increase of crime. It's just almost a perfect storm that's brewing. You know.
Yeah.
And basically, they're trying to cut pay, but what they're trying to do is trying to warn citizens. Now they're trying to warn visitors not to come to Detroit. Well, enter at your own risk.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Think about what's happening already, and we haven't seen bottom yet.
All right.
We haven't seen what is yet to come. And just a lot of these cities don't have the resources. But Detroit's not the only one. You know, even here in New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, I don't know if you heard about this, but they're just reducing their police departments.
Oh, wow.
And Camden, now Camden is a city that's kind of like right outside of Philly. So it's like South Jersey. And kind of the same reason there. They had 273 police officers, and they're getting rid of all their police officers, going from a city-type police force to now a county police force to save money. Because these cities now are basically running out of all their resources.
Wow.
I mean, the bottom hasn't dropped yet. and you keep propping an economy, you keep propping an economy, and you keep trying to keep putting Band-Aids and Band-Aids over it. But if there is no funds, there is no funds. I mean, think about it. Camden's budget, I'm saying this for a reason, because I think we're looking at a model here of what's really happening across the country and really with our own federal government. I mean, Camden had a budget of $167 million. Listen to this. Their police department budget was $55 million, okay? Mm-hmm. And they only collected $21 million in property tax.
Oh, wow.
That's 13% of their budget, and they made up the difference from the state.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, according to this article, and they're making the difference from the state. And the state's saying, hey, listen, we can no longer do this. We can no longer, they've cut all the funding off, and we can no longer continue to provide these monies that are going out. And so now they're transitioning. They're going to go into a countywide, police force, which is non-union. And what happens at these union, the unions are getting in there, and they have such a lucrative contract that the police chief says, he says, how can we bring down crime when our police officers in this city have better hours than bankers? It's like, you know, they have all these different things, and you know, you're in a quagmire because you really want the safety of the police officers to be able to protect the environment. You really appreciate what they do because they really stand on the line to protect our freedoms, you know, our constitutional rights. They're there to filter out all the, you know, things that happen in our communities. But at the same time, you can't, if you can't afford, if you have to do some restructuring, you got to do some restructuring.
Right.
Because you're looking at a major dilemma. The city of Camden, okay, they lost 60,000 jobs. Mm. 60,000 jobs. And what you're looking at is as these communities and these cities are losing resources, they're losing finances, they're also losing the ability to have police on the, you know, boots on the ground, if you will.
Right.
And why are we saying this? Because look, we're going to be facing some very, very difficult and challenging times.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've talked about this before and we keep sharing about this, but I think sometimes, you know, people can live in a vacuum and just don't pay attention, don't know what's going on. It's what VFN Radio Show all about. It's here to encourage you, it's here to educate you and to give you hope in the Lord. God is shining his light and God is going to provide a way, but we need to turn to God. It's not going to be in all this restructuring. It's not going to be in the changes of man. But, you know, one thing is for sure, we definitely have to turn to the Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, he's actually been preparing us for this. And at the same time, we can't be spending money that we don't have.
That's right.
We can't be spending money. And how can we as the church begin to start saying, hey, y'all need to get in place and you get these budgets right and all this union and start doing all these different things. Right, Pat? I mean, talk to me. Think about it. How can we do this if only 3% of the church is actually tithing, giving offering to God, according to George Barna?
That's right.
I mean, really, it's an indictment. 97% of the church is not even honoring God and is not faithful in their tithe and offerings.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world can we expect the world to be fiscally responsible?
That's right.
And yet again, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but they're using the same word, prophetic word. They're talking about fiscal cliff. My understanding is that some CEOs have written a letter to the president. 16 of the nation's largest financial services have written a letter to inform the president and the Congress that, you know, don't let us go basically over this fiscal cliff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. This is the exact words in quotations. Don't let us go over this fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that more. But we're living in some very serious times, and it's time for the church to be in order.
That's right.
It's not hard.
Mm-mm.
It's not hard. We just, you know, we just hear what God says.
And we do it.
And by the grace of God, that's right. That's right. We do it. So very, very interesting. But I want to encourage you that as we get our house in order, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
When the church gets to a place where we can begin to honor God in a way that's honorable, and when we begin to cry out then we're going to be able to see a nation turn. But we can't turn a nation from the outside in.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just it starts with us. It starts with us. We're going to talk about more in this first hour and in the extra hour. We're going to talk about what some other cities are doing to try to combat gang violence, if you will.
Right.
You don't want to listen to this because you're going to be surprised about what you hear. But we'll be right back.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris Hamilton.
Hello, John.
Hey, Sons of Thunder. I noticed that we don't have no Saints shirts on today. I mean, are they being laundered? Are they being fine pressed today? What's the routine for those garments?
I think they're being laundered at this point.
They're being laundered. Okay. I please have them heavy starched the next time I see you. Those t-shirts have some creases and bumps in them, but it must be hard being a Saints fan. Oh my goodness.
Let's move on.
I want to encourage you today. You're listening, and if you missed yesterday's program, oh my goodness, we had such an amazing program. You want to be able to go to the VFN Torch. You want to get updated. You want to get your highlights. If you haven't downloaded the VFN Radio app, oh my goodness, you need to go to your app store. You can search VFN TV download. And let me tell you, you're going to have VFN Radio on the go, live 24 hours a day, marathon weekend. Mm-hmm. You're going to have all different types of series right there set up for you. Original Intent of the Church, Original Intent of America, Wisdom Moments, and so much more. Oh, and not to mention that if you already have the app, there is a new fresh update that you definitely want to check for. So there's so much on the app, and it's constantly being updated and revised. We can better serve you, and you can have your VFN radio on the go. But yesterday we talked about jumping from near space and God's heaven's view of you. That was pretty amazing, man. I just could not stop thinking about it. Talked to my sons, but
that's amazing.
128,000 feet in the air.
It's just unbelievable. You see the view of it. I mean, you could barely make out the earth. I mean, it was just like looking at the globe.
Isn't it amazing?
It was wild.
Isn't it amazing? It's like, how does a soft drink company, I mean, it's like Red Bull sponsored this. How does a soft drink company, talk about vision, you know, gets this man nearly in space with helium? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, they had a spacesuit, the whole 9 yards, and the pictures are just like so awe-inspiring. You see him walking out of, what we're talking about is a gentleman by the name of Felix Baumgartner, who basically had the set a record by jumping from the highest distance. He's mm-hmm. almost was practically in space.
Yeah.
He breaks the sound barrier going 833 miles an hour.
Right.
Took 4 minutes to land. And it's so like awe-inspiring. You think, look at this. I mean, you see the capsule. You got to go on the tour to see this. You see the capsule. You see him standing on the edge, getting ready to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the Earth in the background.
Yeah. That's wild.
Is that wild?
It is wild.
You know, what we talked about was heaven's perspective. It's like, you know, God's looking down. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he says is he realizes how small man is. I'm paraphrasing, but how small man is and how big the Earth is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we may think that we're so insignificant to God,
mm-hmm.
and we may be insignificant to others. You know, granted that may be true or maybe reality, but you're mm-hmm. never insignificant to God.
Right.
And from heaven's perspective, heaven's view, his eye is upon you,
mm-hmm.
and so no matter where you're at, he's got a heaven's view of you, and he sees you, and he is with you. And he's there celebrating, and he's also there in times of trouble. The Bible says that he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. But if you haven't seen this, you really need to just, and there's a video and everything with on the torch of him doing this amazing leap, but just mm-hmm. just beautiful. And the other thing we talked about was, will you promote love or will you promote offense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a wisdom moment. It's really encouraging because we all have the opportunity to make this choice. The question is, what choice are we going to make? Are we going to be right. ones that promote love? Or we're going to be ones that repeat an offense. And we're actually going to, hopefully we'll get time to talk about this today, Chris and Pat, but we're going to talk about offense. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about offense and how that works and, you know, how the enemy tries to wedge this in between us or to us so that we mm-hmm. can have a wedge with others. But it's a thing. We got to be ones that promote love if we're going to fulfill what God's called us to do, right?
That's good. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, yesterday we talked about don't let fear stop you. Take a leap of faith. And that's encouraging. By the time when we jump from a tree, we won't get into the details, but there are some pictures and some evidences. Okay.
Yeah, right.
20 feet high, which we didn't think was that high. But we talked about how fear sometimes, you know, wants to come attack you and to stop you in what God's called you to do. And it's called doubt and fear and what ifs and all that type of stuff. And you just got to not let fear do that. You just got to take, mm-hmm. you know, take hold of what God has taken you a hold for, you know,
right.
and you need to not let that influence you. And in fact, you need to influence it. You need to go ahead and take a leap of faith, not a leap of faith on faith, because that's blind faith, but you need to take a leap of faith on right. God. Right. You take a leap of faith on God and his word.
Yeah.
You didn't land successful. There you go. There you go. We also revisited who does God love? That was really good.
Yeah, that was very good.
Because, you know, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about this. And I don't know if we'll get to talk about it today, but real soon, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about, you know, hell, you know, heaven and hell. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so important because you know, you may be hearing some people saying that, you know, if God hates someone,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute, God doesn't hate anybody. Right. That is just some wrong, warped thinking. God loves everyone. So you're going to hear him, and who does God love? You're going to hear about he loves mankind.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one that God does not love.
Right.
And we're going to go, you know, more in depth into this, but you're going to be encouraged and it's going to help you to relate to others and get a fresh perspective and not fall into the temptation to judge or put labels on people, but to recognize that, hey, if they're made, you know, every human being is made in the image of God
mm-hmm.
and they may not be loving God,
right.
but that never changes God's love towards man.
I know.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. Thank God, right?
I know, right?
Because there was a time in my life when I didn't always love God. Sad to say.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, oh, it'll be you. See, Chris, there he goes again. See, there he goes. But isn't that amazing? It's yeah. like, you know, oftentimes people you hear say, well, you know, I love God. Well, really? You know, we need to investigate on it. We need to talk about that more, mm-hmm. you know, because we need to define what love is, you know?
Right.
You know, loving God is honoring God and making him the Lord of our life. You know, Isaiah says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God's not into lip service. He's not into pretty words, right?
Mm-mm.
But he's into action. You know, he's into our love being displayed. His love was displayed. It was displayed on the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, love demonstrates.
Absolutely.
And if we say we love God, then we'll begin to obey God. And so he loves us unconditionally, but we need to love him back.
All right.
You know, he loved us even in our most worst state. So when we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unlovable, think about it. Chris, Pat, when you were unlovable, I mean, I know it's hard to, I know if you've ever your listeners, it's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys at one time, maybe to others, never to me, of course, right?
Right.
But to others, they could have been seen as unlovable. But yet,
mm-hmm.
but God, right?
But God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
God. Chris is like, amen. I ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah.
I used to run away from it.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And many are running away from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, his love will overtake you. The Bible says that it's his kindness and his goodness that causes us to turn mm-hmm. back to him. You know, and if I said it this once, I said it 1,000 times. I'm like, I'm not in a place. I'm just not in a place where I can turn down that type of love.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I need the love of God. That's I right. need the grace of God. I need the mercy and the forgiveness. I need it all
mm-hmm.
every day. And he richly supplies that to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that there's never been a better time than today.
Absolutely.
You know, today is the day of salvation. You know, you've tried and maybe you've thought about it and maybe someone turned you on to the radio program and you just kind of tuned in. Let me tell you something. God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
God has a plan for your life, that the way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act and the things that make you you, God's designed you for a purpose. The Bible says that he knit you in your mother's womb.
That's right.
He loves you with an everlasting love. You know, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He desires for you to have a relationship with him.
That's right.
The Bible is his love letter to you. And that's how we begin to walk out a relationship and communing and talking with God, which is simply prayer. But he's not after what you can do for him. He's not after you so that you can just, you know, attend a service or something and be,
right.
you know, go to a location, a mm-hmm. building, you know, it's,
right.
that's not what he's after. Your heart. He's after your heart. I remember when I first heard that, you know, Pat, mm-hmm. Chris, I'm like, God, really?
You want this?
Exactly.
Are you sure, God?
You know, surely this is a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, my perception and I don't know what, you know, my perception was that maybe God was up there with the big old ruler. And mm-hmm. and just looking to get me in trouble for every single time that I did something wrong,
mm-hmm.
and let me tell you, if you listen today, that's not God. That was a stinking thinking that I had. I had a wrong perception, and what you believe about God is going to determine what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I believe that, mm-hmm. it caused me to maybe stay away from hearing the truth that I needed to hear. But when I heard
mm-hmm.
that this loving God.
Right.
Was willing to forgive me of all my sins, forgive me of everything that I've ever could have done,
mm-hmm.
and that I could start afresh and start anew, that he'll separate my sins as far as the east is from the west, and he can purify me.
That's right.
And he loves me
mm-hmm.
unconditionally. I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And he just melted my heart. And I want to encourage you today. You know, some of us have written our stories of how we found God, and our you know, you can go to meetmyfather.org and you can hear more about that. But if you want to take this step of faith, if you want to leap into the arms of God,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find that he's right there waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to turn to him because his eye has been upon you.
Right.
And once you make eye contact with him, once you turn your gaze towards him,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna find that everything's gonna work out. You're gonna find that your life is gonna have a new sense of meaning. You're gonna find out what true love really is all about.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I'm sure this was your experience. You know, my experience was that I don't even know who that guy used to be.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to know him anymore.
Yeah, tell me about it. And I know you have been transformed, Patty.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Definitely. Definitely.
Isn't that good?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that set me free from that mindset that you're talking about, that mm-hmm. that God can't love me, is, you know, I heard at one point that, you know, God doesn't look at us as we look at us.
Mm-hmm.
God looks at us as he created us to be.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, he knit you in your mother's womb. You know, he mm-hmm. knew you before the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that statement there just, you know, is very freeing, that God doesn't look at me in the state that I am in now.
Right.
He mm-hmm. sees me as he created me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's just a very freeing.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very freeing. It's very freeing, because if all you've been is in a place of desperation, you know, you're trying to do it without God. Mm-hmm. I mean, life, you know, life doesn't go well without God. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't go well.
Right.
You look at the broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You look, I mean, if, you know, there was a survey done, and I can't give you any statistics here for it, but I read this survey once. It said that the person's main goal in life, that one of the people's main goal is to be happy.
Mm.
I just want to be happy. You know, and okay, you know, the thing with just being happy is how we try to pursue happiness,
mm-hmm.
you know, because happiness is just something that happens,
mm-hmm.
but true joy comes from the Lord.
That's right.
And so oftentimes, you know, people get on a treadmill that don't know God. I mean, I was on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think maybe a relationship's going to make you happy. So you mm-hmm. get into a relationship mm-hmm. and you find out that, you know what, that person is not God.
Mm-hmm.
And right. you're not God for that person.
Mm-mm.
But you look at relationships, and without a relationship with God, people fall into temptation of treating each other like gods,
mm-hmm.
and thinking that this one person, this one soulmate, is going to do this thing for them
mm-hmm.
that's going to make everything just happy, mm-hmm. happy.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll just have a baby. We'll just, if we have a baby, we'll just
fix everything.
So happy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just beginning.
It's just beginning. See, I don't know. Is it the crying? Is it the diaper changing? I don't know what part of all, you know.
Right,
granted,
right.
you know, we've got children. I love my children,
oh,
you
yeah.
know. But as the source, I'm talking about the source,
mm-hmm.
the source of your happiness,
mm-hmm.
that ain't going to cut it.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm going to get a job. You know, I'm going to study. I'm going to get an education, because education is so important. Listen, I'm not knocking education. Got one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good it is, but I got one, you know. But I'll just get an education, because that's I'm going to be happy in life. You got education. You got a good job with benefits and a 401k mm-hmm. and all this. And, you know, then I'm going to be happy, because then, you know, I'm going to feel good about myself and all mm-hmm. that. You know, well, what happens when you don't have your job?
That's right. What happens then?
Yeah, I mean, what if happiness is determined by a job, then that means that when the job or the thing or whatever it is, that the idol that we place before God mm-hmm. is taken down.
That's right.
Then that means
you're not happy anymore.
Happy.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
So we trade jobs. We trade, you know. And the thing about it is, it becomes just a narcissistic, it becomes a self-focused thing, where things, people, and items all revolve around the person that make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my number one goal. My number one goal is to be happy. Then I need all these things. I need all these people. You know, if I go shopping and I get the latest, it's amazing. You know, it's like you buy that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. You're just ecstatic. Can't wait to go home and open it up, right?
You go home, you open it up, you unbox it.
Yeah.
Have you seen a video on YouTube where people would like, they unbox
their stuff?
Yeah. I was like, breathtaking. Let's see what it looks like. The new iPhone, whatever it is, the unboxing video of.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so excited. And that lasts for what?
A week?
You know, the new car is like, oh, I just got the new car.
Yep.
And the new smell wears off.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as a kid just spills, the new baby spills something in it.
Right, like, oh, right.
We got to wipe that up.
It's over.
It's over.
Get a scratch on it.
Exactly. First scratch, first date.
Run over a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have done that here?
I don't know.
No comments.
I'm not saying any names.
No suspects. Just keep moving. But you think about it, it's like, wow. That's important here that we take note of that, because none of these things can truly make a thing can add happen in its proper context, in its proper place. You know, and God doesn't even promise us happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a byproduct of having a relationship with God is that we're going to, you know, you're going to sense the joy of the Lord. You have hope. Mm-hmm. But you know, I understand. I have a great compassion for a lot of people right now that don't know God. You're searching, you're looking, and you know, and maybe you're coming back, or maybe you knew God once, and now you're you know, you got turned on to VFN radio, and listen, I have great compassion because I was there. Mm-hmm. I was on the treadmill. I tried to do everything that they said to do.
Oh, yeah.
To be happy. I didn't did
That's
it all.
Right. Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is that I still wasn't happy. You know, it's just it wasn't an amount of money. It wasn't in the relationships. It wasn't in the jobs and the positions and the toys and the stuff and the vacations. It's like, you know, you can't go from vacation to vacation to vacation. To, right. It's like there's got to be more to life than this. Mm-hmm. And you know, thinking about that, I remember, you know, being in my parents' home one day years and years ago when I first came to God. And I started thinking, there's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be more to life than this. It's like,
yeah.
Hello. I mean, I'm wondering, I was in college at the time. Will I ever graduate? Will I ever get a job? You know what I'm saying? Will I ever have kids or just what? You know, you have all these questions, all these what ifs. Mm-hmm. And I just started fast forwarding through my life. It's just like, I don't know. It's just started seeing these things. It was in a daydream maybe, and just started imagining, you know, is this it? You ask most people today, why do you work? Well, I got bills. You know, it's like, is this it? Work to pay bills and have 2 weeks vacation? Is this it? Maybe get married, but you know, 50% of all marriages ending divorce today, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe have a couple of kids and all that newness will wear off. And is this it? And you're looking at a generation now that's graduating that doesn't even know if they're even going to do as good as their parents' generation. I mean, typically you want your children to do better than the previous generation. Well, you have a generation that's graduating from college with such uncertainty, and we've lifted all these other things, whether it be money, relationships, you know, status, all this other stuff is more important than having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'd say the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life, the greatest thing you could ever, ever do in your life, the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. They say that the three most important decisions, Pat, that you ever make in your life all start with a C. What you're going to do for your career, who's going to be your companion.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's a, right?
Yep.
And your decision or your indecision to choose Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Maybe you've been working it backwards. Maybe, you know, you started out with the career, you started out with the companion and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ is not at the center of your heart and your life, you're missing.
That's right.
And you can turn back to him. Listen, there's nothing that you could have done. There's nothing that you have done in your life where God's going to reject you. We're talking about, who does God love? I mean, God loves you. He loves you, he's died for you, and he has a plan for your life. You can make that decision to turn your heart, give your heart to him. Or maybe if you've known him, maybe your relationship has just grown cold.
Yep.
Let me tell you, you can stoke a relationship now. You just turn back to God. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been abiding, I want to encourage you, you can go to iabide.org. I like the... You see an iPad or iPod, the letter I, and the word abide, abide.org. Mm-hmm. And there's a simple plan. There's a simple plan that you can get. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Nothing but your time. Mm-hmm. And you can download this plan. It gives you a simple plan on how you can abide, how you can spend time with God, how you can begin to walk out this relationship. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you today that God loves you. We'll be right back. Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? And I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
I need it too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for, though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN radio program, they love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com.
Mm-hmm.
And subscribe now. Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn. And after the basketball tournament.
Tournament?
What?
Tournament?
Was it a tournament?
Tournament.
Oh, my God.
Is it tournament?
It's happening.
Is it tournament?
What's happening? What happened?
Is it a tournament or tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just tournament.
Just you know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament?
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton and Chris.
Chris Cat.
Good to have you guys here today. Oh my goodness, you believe we're coming close to the end of our first hour already?
I know, but time flies.
But my goodness, who does God love? He loves you.
Yes.
We've shared so much in this first hour already. But, you know, we've been talking about so much. And one of the things we talked about earlier in the program, and we want to make sure we visit this because it just kind of has to do with something we talked about yesterday as well. And you kind of see all of this kind of unfolding. Mm-hmm. But we talked about the police department in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at Detroit. I mean, my heart goes out. So if you're listening to us from Detroit, our hearts go out to you. We're praying for you. Let me tell you, our hope is in God. But, you know, they have an unemployment rate that's about 20%. It's almost three times the national average. The poverty rate is 37%. Mm-hmm. And the police, the ones that are there to protect you, are announcing to the visitors and to the criminals, this is not a safe place to come.
All right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it just appears that the city just doesn't have the funds. I mean, obviously, when you have that high of unemployment rate, you just got... You know, you don't have the funds to go ahead and be able to pay the police officers what they're, you know, they have been being paid. I mean, you're noticing there's a lot of people in this economy and right now, I mean, they're making transitions and they're making adjustments. I'm telling you, it's if you're in transition, there's a lot of people in transition.
Right.
You know, in this segment on a BFN Torch, we will encourage you just search your transition. And also, you can adjust, and that'll really help you to get some truth inside of you to help you. Because a lot of times you're in transition, and you don't know you're in transition. The things are happening. Mm-hmm. You know, things are happening around you. You realize we're in transition. You know, and your family could be in transition. Your employment could be in transition. Your finances could be in a transition. My goodness, our nation is in a transition. I mean, look at it. We are transitioning. In the next 19, 18 days or so,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
to either have the same president or a new president in office.
Right.
But either way, there's going to be transitions that occurs with any administration that takes place. There's transitioning all over the world with the economy. There's Israel's transition. I mean, just look at the nations of the world. Transition. And what you want to do is you want to transition right. In your personal life, a lot of times there are people in a transition, they'll run to whatever they think is safe, mm-hmm. but not necessarily to what's right. Let me tell you, when you're transitioning, you want to transition with God.
Right.
You want God to be at the center and at the front here of your transition, because if you transition and make your turn and your change and your adjustment with God, you're going to be okay.
That's right.
But if you just start to run to any different thing just because someone said, or this is a good idea, or you're looking at something else to save you, your transition is not going to go well, because when you do finally transition and you arrive to where you think you're going to arrive to,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find out you're somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And you may not want to be there.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you today, transition with God. But we talked about the police department in Detroit. We talked about the city of Camden, which is in a similar predicament, if you will. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a city in Camden, New Jersey, which is South Jersey near Philadelphia. And it's a city that lost 60,000 jobs. I mean, Campbell Soup was there at one time. They had a shipyard and all this type of different stuff.
Right.
And now they have, you know, so much crime there. I mean, the murders, I mean, they're out there. They have more murders now than they did all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're transitioning from a city police department to a countywide department. And, you know, there is no funds. They have no resources. Well, with that, just today, Pat, Chris, just today, in Chicago, Cook County, Chi-town, an elected official, get this, wants to tax the sale of every bullet and firearm, an effort she acknowledges could spark a legal challenge. And why they want to do this? Why do they want to tax every bullet and every firearm? They want to do this to quell, as they say, gang violence that has contributed to the jump in homicides.
Really?
They want to stop gun violence
right.
by taxing Okay, gang violence.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that they want to tax a nickel for each bullet, and $25 for each firearm.
Uh-huh.
All right, sold in Cook County. This is the nation's second largest county, and it's like it's going to generate $1 million a year and all this type of stuff. But listen, mm-hmm. what the money's going to be used for.
Right.
The money is going to be used for various county services, including medical care for gunshot victims. You're looking at a city. You're looking at a city that had 409 homicides this year compared mm-hmm. to 324 all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much gang violence, and they're thinking that they're going to address the gang and gun violence by taxing people that purchase bullets
mm-hmm.
and firearms.
Right.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you, Miss County official, elected official? I don't think that the gangbanger,
right,
is necessarily going to the local police, gun shop to purchase his ammo or buy his bullets. I just have a funny idea that he is not going to be going there. Okay,
right.
So in essence, then, what you're saying is that you're going to charge law-abiding citizens a tax.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this: a tax to pay for now, because all this $1 million. I mean, they say that, hey, listen, we know this is really not about, you know, this is about taking, it's not about the money. This is about curbing the violence. But
right.
yet and still, $1 million is going to take care of the gunshot victims,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of these, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of these are the ones that are contributing to the gang violence. I mean, again, this is what you're seeing is just, you know, this is your Second Amendment. These are the Constitution. It's constitutional rights here. And it's so, so important, because what happens is that this is how
mm-hmm.
the Constitution begins to start getting attacked.
Right.
Because all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know what? We have to do something. And, you know, what are we going to do to curb this? I know.
Right.
Let's blame guns on the issue. Let's blame the bullets on the issue. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Is this what's going to solve?
Right.
This is your Second Amendment. First of all, this is not going to fix the issue. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's, you know, you hate to see this, but, you know, and I'm not implying this by this politician, but it's like, what, you know. You don't want to bring politics into something like these are people. We have a serious problem. There's
yeah.
gang violence. People are being murdered,
mm-hmm.
and how do we think that by just raising another tax?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said this tax would do? It would cripple the legal, you know, a law abiding gun shop owner, because it would force everyone to, you know, not purchase their ammo in that county and go to another county.
Somewhere else,
like,
right.
Yeah, exactly. How is that going to work? Let me tell you something. We need to defend our Constitution. You need to be educated on your Constitution, Second Amendment rights. This is not going to solve the problem. The problem is, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll heal their land. I'll touch their children. I'll touch their cities. And God can spread all over Chicago.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.